broadcasting from Doksu Village on Jeju Island. This is the Korea File, a weekly podcast about music, culture, and society from around the peninsula. I'm Andre Goulet. On this episode, Jeju Weekly editor-in-chief Darren Southcott turns the mic around and talks to me about what it's like podcasting and practicing advocacy journalism here in Korea.
Well, I'm sitting here with Andre Goulet. First of all, I really like your podcast. I like the issues you deal with. And it's very apparent that these are issues, actually, that you don't seem to have randomly picked issues. They seem to be issues which you're very much interested in. And I wonder, what is your background? Do you have a background in perhaps some sort of activism back home, or in these kind of political areas?
It's more casual and more intellectual, because I read a lot, but I've been someone who was like marginally activist-y in progressive realms since I was a kid, since 2000 or whatever. I'm interested in these aspects of Jeju or Korea because of my background, but that's just more hardwired into me. The stuff I deal with tends to find me because Jeju's not a very big place, and the people that I have met through my wife, who does research here on language preservation, have tended to be people who are engaged and involved in some of the more interesting aspects of contemporary Jeju and contemporary Korea.
So back in Canada, how did you deal with these same issues?
In Canada, I did community radio in Montreal for the sort of McGill University affiliate, but it's kind of a like really far left, like super progressive radio station that their whole modus operandi is giving a voice to the voiceless. So working for the news co-op, it wasn't a news department, it was a cooperative, we had to cover stories that were like anything that wouldn't be covered in the mainstream media. So that's kind of my background, and that would mean covering people squatting somewhere for a semi-political reason, or people protesting things, academics who were studying different sorts of things.
Was that kind of an awakening for you to move into those areas, or?
That was already like my background, but that was a different sort of engagement than just sort of going to a rally or something. And I had been away from Canada in Korea for 5 years, and that was a way to re-engage in my community in Montreal.
And that was a way to engage in those issues on a person-to-person level.
Yes. Yeah. Although, what I find is that I'm more comfortable engaging with the people who are actually doing something about it than being an activist myself. It's really interesting to get the stories from people, but yeah, I'm just a lot more comfortable talking about it with them and having them share their experience than, you know, having like a super strong perspective on global warming or tuition levels or whatever.
You seem very personable, actually, listening to your podcast. You're very good at listening to the whoever you're interviewing. Is that something that you work to develop? Is it a skill that you worked over time?
I guess so. I think it's important in interview podcasts and probably radio as well to really be a listener. I do my best to keep myself out of the conversation because it's not about me, obviously. And if I'm doing my job right, it's when I get someone to talk about the subject that I'm hoping they'll talk about.
How do you think, going back to your work on the podcast, how do you think a podcast differs in its function from radio, traditional radio?
It's more personal because we choose to listen to it. Radio is more random. Radio we turn on in our car, and it's just whatever's playing. And if it's good, it keeps you there. And when you drive up to your garage before going in, you just stay in the car and wait till it's done. With podcasts, you know, you hit pause when you get off the elliptical machine at the gym, and then you pick it up again when you get in the subway. So, yeah, podcasting's like more intimate that way and more personal, and also the way it's produced and the stories that are told might be more personal as well, because someone who's podcasting is going to pursue a story that they're interested in, and if they're not really interested in it, it might not be that interesting, or why would they bother producing it at all?
Does that change how you approach your subject at all?
I guess so. There's people I've met in Korea or on Jeju that have interesting stories, but I'm not that interested these days in hearing like the personal story about somebody. So if I interview here. I don't really want to know like what brought you to Korea or what you do here. I'm more interested in the topic that you know a lot about and that you can sort of share your expertise about.
Bearing that in mind, what brought you to Korea?
In 2006, I came on a whim. I taught in Taiwan from 2001 to 2004, also on a whim after university. Came back from Taiwan, moved back to Montreal. Moved back to Korea just because like I had a couple years in Montreal and I was like, wanted to try something new. Came to Korea on a whim, and that whim turned into 5 years, meeting my partner, and also having Korea just like totally get under my skin and become sort of a place that really emotionally and intellectually engaged me. I returned here this year, or last year in 2014, because my partner is doing language preservation on a Fulbright fellowship. So I came to teach again. And I just started pursuing the podcasting because I'm working in radio in Montreal.
Why do you say it got under your skin? What was it about Korea?
Well, in my perspective, Korea is not like the most exotic place. I don't like walk around the streets just marveling at how totally crazy everything is. Like, the neon's cool, but it doesn't quite compare to actually anywhere else I've been in Asia. What's fascinating about Korea is Korea itself and the people, the culture, the history, and especially like the contemporary history. So when I say it got under my skin, I guess I mean that it's not like this fleeting love affair. Mm-hmm. It's something that's like really deeply immersed in like how I look at the world. Mm-hmm. Korea is always like in the peripheral.
Do you think it's changed you as a person? I mean, when you go home, you'll use your experiences here, and you might change the direction you move in somehow.
I guess it living somewhere for a long time makes you engaged in the sort of geopolitical things and awareness of other cultures and stuff like that. So yes. But yeah, I don't really see it having changed me that much.
You're from Montreal?
Yeah, but I lived in Western Canada for 9 years and I was born in Central Canada.
I've heard people say Montreal is kind of like the cultural hotspot for Canada. Mm-hmm. We're here on Jeju, which is a small island, not as much cultural activity going on. How did you deal with that? Because your podcast very much deals in cultural subjects and people who are involved in culture. Mm. And it seems like you've tried to sort of keep that around you to a certain extent.
Well, in Montreal, it was always like being someone who was engaging from the outside, because although I've lived there off and on and my family lives there and my father was born there and stuff, it's home-ish, but not really home. So every story I would cover was definitely like just some guy being like, okay, I'm going to make 10 questions to ask this academic about this certain topic, or to interview this activist about this certain thing. And it wasn't something where I was so engaged personally. So coming back to Korea and then coming to Jeju, I guess I tend to get really fascinated in wherever I'm living. So Korea was already fascinating, but Jeju is really interesting. And as I've sort of developed the podcast, I've gotten more interested in sort of trying to share the stories of things that are happening. Like our mutual acquaintance who is researching Jeju shamanism, friends of ours who research Jeju urban development, Jeju linguistics. Jeju is such a unique place. There's a lot of interesting things going on.
Who is the subject of your interviews? Are you talking to the individual or to their subject that they're interested in? Because you, as you said, Anne Bush, you've interviewed about development tourism here. Joey Rostano does shamanism. Tommy Tran, who's a scholar. They're dealing with very interesting areas about Jeju. But are you interviewing them? Do you want them to come out in your interview?
I think it's about interviewing the person. But for a person who's really like, you know, savvy about what their focus is, they'll end up talking about that. In terms of other things, or other people that I've interviewed, I think that it was just an interesting person that I wanted to have a conversation with. And I think that's relevant too. Like, it's possible to, in a place like Jeju, have been here for only 6 months or a year or 2 years and still have a perspective. And sharing that is meaningful because most people in Korea aren't experiencing Jeju. It's a pretty big blind spot. I don't know if you have friends, a lot of friends in Seoul. But most buddies will be, I'll be like, come on down to Jeju. You got to come down and like, your band should play down here or something. And the amount of people who are like, oh yeah, I don't know, it's really far away. Pretty incredible. Like, in Seoul, there's this psychological block where you can't imagine going to Jeju. Mm. I didn't come to Jeju my 5 years in Korea. First time around. It was just, why would I be there? That's so far away. So, yeah, being here, I think, is actually kind of a special thing. And I think most people could speak to it in a certain way if they were comfortable and just sort of talking about it, what the experience has been like.
What do you see as the role of the podcast?
I think in Korea, there's not even a handful, maybe just me and Korea and the world, who do sort of pseudo-academic stuff. Korea in the world is like straight-up academic. Those guys go to Seoul National University and like, have you heard their podcast?
Yeah.
It's really good. It's, I find it a little bit beige. Like, I don't find it very engaging. It's interesting. But it's not that engaging. I think what I hope my podcast is an opportunity for people to talk really comfortably and casually about topics that are important to them, and then have a opening and outing bed of like some good old Korean music from the 70s or something interesting, and just sort of share that part of what's interesting to me about Korea. I interview a lot of indie bands too. That's been a big part of, and musicians, and that's been a big part of the podcast. Once every month or 5 weeks, I put out an episode of a band. And that's kind of unique. Not a lot of people are doing that.
Is there an area you want to move to now with your podcast?
Yeah, I'm moving to Ann Arbor, Michigan, so my partner can begin her grad school studies. So I'm not really sure where the podcast... I don't know how the podcast will develop out of Ann Arbor.
What are the areas you haven't touched on that you wanted to engage in?
Every time I do an interview, it's like there's a couple other things that flare up that should have been talked about that I didn't capitalize on, or maybe chose not to capitalize on because I want to keep the episodes at 30 minutes or so. So, like, I guess one of the great things about Korea is that it's a never-ending story. It's an onion, and you peel back a layer, and there's more underneath. So,
and it makes you cry.
Yeah, and it makes you cry. So, if I've discussed shamanism with Joey Rositano, there's more to be told about it. If I discuss the environment in Jeju with Darren Southcott, there's more to be talked about. Yeah, with Korea there's always more, and it's an underserved part of the world, in spite of the fact that it's more and more meaningful in terms of like economics, soft power, geopolitical stuff. Yeah,
I have to say, one thing that actually scares me a bit about audio is the fact that you can't mold and sculpt your own idea of what it's going to be. When you're writing an article, you have a lot more freedom about what to include and how to write it. When you're doing a podcast, it's very much open-ended. How does that change how you approach it?
Well, I don't write articles. So as a journalist, when you're writing, is it really coming just from this like deep place where it's kind of all about your intellectual expression on the page?
It depends on what the topic or subject is. If it's about the person, then make it about the person. But
and in radio or in podcasting, it's not about the topic so much as the journey in the conversation. So it doesn't really matter where it ends up or even where it goes, as long as it stays on the rails and the person manages to like comfortably speak about something that they have reason to have knowledge about. So what do you think? Like, so how does this sort of... this is not journalism, by the way. Podcasting is not journalism. What is it if it's not journalism? It's sharing something.
Well, it's interesting to talk about the differences, because when you're writing an article, you know what you need for it and you can gather those bits of information and create the article. And if you don't have a bit of information, you can search that out. Mm. With a podcast, you're very much, you're sort of set free and you don't know where it's going to go or where it's going to end. And that was what I was getting at.
What did I bring to our interview? I brought 25 questions that I typed out this afternoon after doing like a cursory but, you know, engaged amount of research. It did not need to be perfect because The difference is that a conversation that's listened to is different than an article which is read. If I read an article, there's certain expectations. Otherwise, it's a blog. And with an interview, it's more about just sort of like listening and being carried along and learning something along the way.
I think that's an important point to make. When you listen to your podcast, it doesn't feel like it is just a podcast. It does seem to have much more of a focus. It's, you said, intellectually focused. It's much more, it's informative. It's designed to be perhaps even activism in a way. I mean, you deal with subjects that
dissemination?
Dissemination of information, hoping to get people's views out there rather than just perhaps a free flow of information is not doing it justice.
Yeah, I mean, also that, like, it would be a different sort of podcast if you needed absolute facts. That's definitely not what I do. And I'm not sure that a lot of the people that I've spoken with in Korea or on Jeju really have absolute facts. Like, no, that's the difference. The nature of a podcast is a conversation, and it's just sort of more casual. I spoke with Michael Breen, who wrote The Koreans, the seminal book about Koreans from an outsider's perspective. He's great, and it was super interesting, but he didn't tell me definite facts. It was like a little bit of gossip, a little bit of personal experience, some life history, some perspective, some sort of legacy perspective, because he's been on Korea for 30 years. But at the end of like an hour and two episodes, there was no answers. It was just someone who was informed talking about the place that he had chosen to call home. He came here as a Moonie.
Did he?
He married his Moonie, his first wife, also
and
Moonie.
Not together anymore.
No. Well, he moved, like, his career developed out of that. And he was a stringer for The Guardian and The Washington Times, wow, which was the right-wing Washington paper, the Moonie-sponsored paper. And that blew my mind. Mm. So I guess, like, podcasts are about that, too. Just sort of, like, incidental shocks that it's like, what? That's not official. That wouldn't come out in an article because
right. That
would get plucked out by someone who would have a vested interest in not having that there.
And that makes the podcast more interesting in a way, because you don't know what you're going to get when you start. Perhaps.
That's true.
Do you have any favorites that when you look back on what you've done in your time here?
I guess it's mostly about, like, it was tough to technically get... This is not a technically proficient podcast, but it's at the point now where, like, I don't feel terrible about it. So I can't look at the first 5 months. I can only look at the last, like, 10 episodes. And of those last 10 episodes, I really like what I've done with the Jeju interviews, because I've been living here for almost a year now, and these aren't stories that are told. The shamanism stuff, this is unique to Korea. Really unique. And this dude that, you know, we're buddies with, he is so immersed and obsessed with this topic. So he cares so much. Having that shared about, like, in a long-form conversation is something pretty cool. Darren, thanks a lot for speaking to me about the Korea File.
It's been great. It was nice to turn the tables.
Darren Sethcott is the editor of the Jeju Weekly.
Andre Goulet is the chief podcaster at the Korea File. It's been great talking to you.
Thanks a lot, Darren.
Thank you.
That's the Korea File for this week. You can find new episodes on iTunes and Stitcher, and as a feature contributor at KoreaFM.net, KoreaBridge.net, ESLROK.com, and BlogTalkRadio.org. If you like what you hear, like us on Facebook. The Korea File will be on hiatus for a month, but will return as a bi-weekly podcast in September. For more on Korean music, culture, and society, including pieces on Jeju's Gumjong Naval Base, traveling in North Korea, and an interview on South Korean cult activity, tune in on September 16th. Thanks for listening. From Daksu Village on Jeju Island, I'm Andre Goulet.